T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. I'm still down in Orlando at the NFL annual meeting. This morning we heard from Dan Quinn. Yesterday afternoon we heard from Commanders General Manager Adam Peters. B. Mitch holding it down in the Navy Yard studios. Good morning, Brian. How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
I think we got it. And you and I don't usually do this, but I think we got to at least open things up here and just – sending our thoughts and prayers to everybody involved with this thing in Baltimore, man.
Yes, man. I was just looking at a video of it, and
it's terrifying.
50 seconds, you see how the power goes out. They recover, but it's too late, and they hit it, and that bridge was down in 5 seconds, man. You can see it wasn't as many cars that would have been there if it was at a different time, but you know, it's very like odd for me because I was just down in Tampa, St. Pete area, and there's a bridge. They call it a Sunshine something bridge, I think, down there. And that bridge was hit by a barge in 1980, and it went down. And my son-in-law and his friend was talking. They were talking about it as we were crossing it. And then I wake up to this morning, man. It's you know, I don't know exactly how old the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge here was, or but we got to find a way to, and these ships and things like that.
Yeah, the ship's got to be paying attention.
He lost power, and you can't steer when you lose power. But still, it has to be some level. Let's say once you get into the channel, you got to get a barge to bring you through and or something. But that's horrifying and terrifying for some people out there. You see it. And listen, man, we have a lot of bridges. We cross a lot of bridges time and time again.
Sure.
And people have – I know Tony Kornheiser can't drive across the bridge or the Bay Bridge.
Yeah. You
know, a lot of people have these phobias about bridges, and I think this is going to add to that. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, I don't have the answers. I'm no engineer. It was just scary. I was supposed to be – so I found out about this, the NBC4 morning show,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to get yelled at here. I believe it comes on at 4 a.m. It comes on really
early. It's like
early.
4, 4:30, something like that.
Yeah, something like that, right? And I usually, when I go on, I ask for it to be as late as possible, but I usually go on at like 6:30. And I was supposed to go on this morning, you know, because I'm down here in Florida and there's plenty going on with the Commanders and everything else. And I woke up, I tend to kind of like wake up over the course of the night anyway, but I woke up to a text like, hey, you're not on, we're doing this Baltimore thing. And I was like, you know, I was like, what does that mean? And then I just looked on social media and you see the video.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's terrifying. I mean, that thing went down like it was. You just hope the best for everybody. I can't even imagine how long it'll take to get that rebuilt and redone and everything else.
Is there over 1.5 million cars a year going across that bridge?
Wow. Yeah. Now we're going to persevere and kind of move forward here, but I just wanted to address that off the top. There's no way to ignore that.
No, you can't.
But here's what we're going to do going forward. Adam Peters talked yesterday at length with reporters. I don't believe anybody has played the full audio yet. We're going to do that at 10:30, and I think it might take us all the way up to 11 because he talked for a while, and we have a little thing called commercials in between. So you're going to hear full Adam Peters audio. And I thought it was, you know, you got to remember that Peters is relatively new to this GM stuff. Like, he's been obviously a high-ranking football official for a long time, but he told us this was his first owners meetings. He had never been to these because this is only the owner or the head coach and the GM that come to these things.
Yeah.
And so he hasn't done a ton of media. And I thought, credit to the Commanders PR department, they put us in a really good kind of setting for this. And I think people were, I think like fans were pretty surprised. We kind of collectively, the people in the room, and I want to say who it was because we all, you'll hear everybody's voice. It was 48 from the Post, John Keim, Standing from Athletic, Dave Harrison with Sports Illustrated, me. I think that's it. So if I forgot anybody, I'll add to it later. But we all agreed not to tweet while we were talking to him so you could have more of a conversation and you're not looking at your phone and you're not typing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it, Brian, it really made for a better conversation. And, like, you're not going to be able to recreate that all the time, but it was pleasant to not be looking at my phone or my computer the whole time and just having a conversation, you know, a fairly – highbrow football conversation. And I thought you might appreciate that as somebody that's always telling me to.
And I need you to do that more often, though. If there's a high alert situation, I understand it. But every minute of every day, that has to be annoying. I'm just being real. Like,
bro, you're not wrong.
Yeah, it's like you got to just you miss a lot when you're always looking down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to keep working on you, though. Keep working on you.
Well, dude, in my defense, and I don't know that I need to defend it, but the one complicating factor is we work in competitive industries, right? And and you cultivate an audience and people that care about your coverage and analysis because you give that coverage and analysis. And then if you're not and someone else is, like, that's the competitive nature of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that, but I'll say this. What I've learned a long time ago, there are a lot of people that are so hell-bent on being first, and they're absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
So I think if you're hell-bent on being right, whether you come out at 8 o'clock or 8:02, they're going to listen to you anyway because they know when you bring it real.
Now, Jeff just tweeted, or texted rather, pleasant to be present. I find some irony in that, considering he wasn't present yesterday.
He's not
but
present
Jeffrey,
right
are
now.
You, yeah, perfect. Is he still being an actor?
No, no. He's on his
way
in. Has
Jeff moved to Hollywood?
He's on his way in, and I think he said it's traffic. I can believe it's traffic out there, so I'm not going to question him on that one. But I'm just saying, like, everybody else here early, so it's just – and he lives closer to here than anybody else, so – just saying. You know, it's like – You start thinking about it like, okay, you live within 6-7 miles from this place, probably closer, but you're the one that's always late and worried about traffic when everybody else, I am 37 miles away.
Who is farther, you or Landfill?
Probably me.
Ooh. Because I'm Centerville, and I have to get, because Landfill comes straight up. He goes up 7, so he doesn't really take the toll road. So it's probably what and what. Both of them are right around 30 miles or so.
I've tried taking 7 to 193 and all that. I would rather pay the $6 and just go on the toll road.
I'm with you.
I can't stand the lights. Now, if it was a 66 kind of toll where it's like a moving
it
target,
probably takes
Landfill some days it's
the way
50
he
bucks.
Goes, it takes me a shorter route. Probably, because
right.
I'm going on wherever I can do the fastest. I'm that's the road I want to be on.
All right, now we got some news breaking here in Orlando. NFL owners have voted; they've now officially moved the trade deadline back a week. Goes from the end of week 8 to the end of week 9 to the Tuesday after week 9. So, what does that do? One. I think it could generate more trades. The end of week 9, depending on when your buy is, you can have a pretty good idea if you're competitive that year or not. Mm-hmm. And we're already seeing the NFL trade market. I mean, hell, we certainly saw it in Washington last year when Montez and Chase were traded away. Yep. Like, you're starting to see more and more of that. And I think pushing it back a week will create even more teams' just ability to know their season's cooked and they should build for the future anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It roughly will go from, like, Halloween to November 10th,
but
roughly.
Does that put it in a position now where people begin to, okay, we're going to just build next year and stop happening? Because, like, we've seen teams start off 0-5, 0-6. Now, you're sitting at 3-6, and then you go on a run for the next 7 weeks or so, you're right back in it. So I'm wondering, will that affect runs now and make this thing a little different instead of us seeing those type of things?
Yeah, I sure. You can definitely – I mean, I think a lot of that stuff becomes situational too, right? If you got a GM that's just starting and knows that they have a relationship with the owner that they got 3 years to build – maybe you want to tear down if you get to week 8 and it's looking rough.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got a GM or a coach, whoever's in charge, and it's week 8 and it's year 3 and they haven't won a playoff game yet, they might be that much more aggressive trying to get somebody. They're like, man, if we had a good tight end, this offense could really move.
There you
know,
go.
Like,
yeah.
So much of this league is situational and self-preservation driven. Hell, so much of life is that anyway. Right. But the bigger news, I'd say, is they passed the kickoff rule, B.
Okay.
I really think this is going to be a positive move for the league. I think in general, and I'm not just saying this to kiss up to you, in general, return men are maybe the most, but certainly among the most athletic, explosive, exciting players on a team. Like, in general, that's who you want returning for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more chances the paying public, that fans, that the audience get to see those guys with the ball in their hand, the better. And I think we're going to get to see more returns.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I like this better than I did the
hip drop.
The swivel hip drop, whatever thing yesterday.
Yeah,
I just believe that is going to become a problem because it is still very, very much not clear enough for people to just see it one time and know exactly what it is. And I think you're going to have some people who just want to call stuff, calling it all the time, and others that don't, and it's going to be a little confusing to the people actually on the field that you want it to be consistent so where you don't it doesn't become dangerous.
Sure. Well, I think a little part of me kind of thinks they got hip drop done yesterday, so then they could roll out the kickoff rule today and let that kind of take over as the story, because I think there's more support for it. I know that for coaches, there's way more support for it. Coaches are into this kickoff rule because they think it'll generate more it makes the kickoff relevant again, and it got to be damn near irrelevant. Now, punts will always be relevant just because of the nature and where they can come. They can come anywhere on the field, right? Like, it's an entirely different functionality. But kickoffs became completely irrelevant. And I think that it was a disservice to the game.
True.
But, dude, I do think a lot of these rule changes will generate more, frankly, like, time sucks. Like, so they just passed another thing. Allowing, we talked about this yesterday briefly, I think, B, that the league is going to allow more plays to become replay eligible, including if a quarterback is down by contact or out of bounds before throwing a pass. And I think also this one's going to be tricky because this happens frequently. How many times, and I frankly find it remarkable how arbitrarily it is officiated. When the play clock gets to zero, I mean, it seems like
as if
you
they
see
can't
that.
See a zero,
right? And now I understand because where the play clocks are actually on the field are in the far corners of the end zones, and so if the ball's at roughly midfield, I mean, you've got 22 dudes on the field, fans going nuts. Like, it does, I think, get hard to focus on the play clock. I think it's ridiculous.
That person's job is to watch the clock. Shouldn't be that. Right. He shouldn't have that much problem.
But now their competition committee amends Rule 15, Section 3, Article 9 to allow a replay review when there is clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before any snap.
If it's clear and obvious, they wouldn't have to have a damn replay, right? So, in other words, when one of your referees is not doing his damn job, you're going to allow them to go and look at it. Because if it's clear and obvious, then I know that it went to zero before the ball was snapped. So I shouldn't have to replay it, right?
Right.
You know, in other words, they're making a loophole for those who lose sight sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like.
Let's just think of that. Clear and obvious. If it's clear and obvious, we don't have to replay it.
I mean, let's now, be real. They also. I mean, this should forever be known as like the Niners rule because of that NFC Championship game where they ended up having to take Christian McCaffrey taking snaps out of the Wildcat. They've allowed even more flexibility with an emergency quarterback. The league voted to expand the standard elevation rules to permit clubs to elevate a bona fide quarterback in an unlimited number of times from practice squad to the active list to be the emergency third QB.
Why don't you just be prepared for it? I mean, I understand all that, but for years, people had a guy in place to be ready to go. And you practice your plays every week. Why is it now it gets to a point and it's like, oh, Lord, this guy may have to go in and he's never taking a snap. He should be taking snaps. Even if you got these backup quarterbacks right now, okay? Like, let's be real. You watch a lot of practice. That third-string quarterback don't get a lot of snaps. That fourth-string guy really not getting snaps.
Sure.
So, is he even more prepared than the guy that may be at practice every day that you could give 5 to 10 minutes a day?
Speaking of quarterbacks, Brian, let's hear from Commanders General Manager Adam Peters what he wants in a QB. You will hear from Adam Peters next, right here on B. Mitchell Finley.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. B, I just ran in there listening to Rich McKay talk about the competition committee, all the changes they made.
Uh-huh.
And he was clear about this kickoff rule. There's going to be more returns. There's going to be less injuries. The kickoff rule is a win-win. Now, you do lose the element of surprise onside kicks.
Yeah.
But
you're only onside kick in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah. But you're declaring that you're doing it. But he also made it clear because there's been this push to maybe instead of an onside kick, you have a 4th and 20 play. And he basically was like, listen, I like that idea, but this year we had too much going on to try to get the new kickoff rule through.
I'm blitzing.
We'll revisit that later.
I'm sending a house at you, 4th and 20.
I mean, that was one of the things that frustrated me so much with Ron and Jack is they'd get in these clear situations, 3rd and 17, and just sit and play like a soft shell and just give up. Sitting with David Aldridge in press boxes watching games is one of my favorite things in the world because DA is not shy when he thinks something should happen. And he would just be like, send the house.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't do it, and they'd give up the conversion.
People just don't understand, like, you know, it's not about always getting home. It's making the QB feel uncomfortable or speed up. Or the offensive line, they have to be on point. And
totally.
Just confusion, man. That's all. Sometimes it's all it takes is you just speed him up a moment, like a little tick faster, and he'll throw it too soon or throw it out too far in front. But we sat back and we waited, and guess what they did? They wait till he got 40 yards down the field, and they hit him for 60.
So here's what we're going to do. Adam Peters spoke at length with reporters yesterday. Adam Peters hasn't done a lot of D.C. media. He hasn't answered a ton of questions. We haven't heard from him since they just signed about 100 dudes in free agency. We're going to play the Adam Peters audio in its entirety. We're probably going to have to go to break. We're also giving away Nats home opener tickets at 10:45. Let's start with AP now, and then you'll probably hear from me and B again.
Took over to now. How much progress have you made getting this thing where you want it to go?
Yeah, we've really done a lot in a little short amount of time. In terms of where we need to be, we still got a long way to go, but we have some great pieces in place. We have a great coaching staff. Personnel staff's been awesome. So far, so good. I've been really, really excited to work with everybody. It's been awesome.
And when you looked at the free agent class, what was it that stood out to you about the guys you collected in the whole plan?
Yeah, I think it was really, we set out to get players that fit what we do, first of all, on the field, play the way we want them to play, play style, and then the right type of people as well. And both of those things were really points of emphasis for us. And the way you do that, I think a lot of times is, people research, you can research other teams, but the best evaluations you can do are when you're around somebody day in and day out. So we happened to get a lot of guys that we had really good familiarity with and knew what they were all about, and they knew their play style, their mentality, the way they practiced, the way they worked, how much they loved football. So those were the things we set out to do, and I thought we did. Our team did a really good job of getting those guys in.
Why Marcus, and how serious was the conversation about Darnold or Jacoby or somebody else like that?
Yeah, Marcus, obviously he's been in the league a long time. He's won a lot of games. He's won playoff games. So knowing him from, he has a great relationship with Brian Johnson, who put in a great word for him. And so understanding what he's all about and the type of person he'd be in that room supporting whoever else is in that room. So, and the fact that he's still really good. He's athletic. He can throw it. He's smart. And he's got familiarity with what we do. So, we're really, really happy to get Marcus in. We explored, I think, anytime in free agency, you have to explore a number of different options because you don't know who you're going to get. But we're really excited to have Marcus.
What about the decision to trade Sam?
With Sam? Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an easy decision. And, since I first started talking with you guys when I got here, he's tough. He's really tough. He's smart. He's a great, great kid. He's talented. He's athletic, so there's a lot of great things about Sam. Ultimately, we thought as we went through that process, we talked with his representatives. We let them know what we were doing, like throughout it all. And once we decided as an organization that we're going to explore a trade, we got some good interest. And ultimately, Seattle was really excited to get him. Him and his agent is Bruce Tolmer, really, really good agent and a friend of mine, and they were excited about getting to Seattle. So I think it was one of those things where it really worked out for us, it worked out for Sam, and then worked out for the Seahawks.
You guys obviously signed a lot of players, only re-signed a few. How much of all that was just ultimately, look, this was a team that was coming off a 4-win season, and you just needed to reshape a lot of things?
Yeah, I think, we brought in guys, like we said, who we had great familiarity with. And the players that we brought in from Washington from the year before, I don't know if you guys saw last night with F.A., was special, what his presentation last night. But the players that, we found, like Jeremy Reeves and F.A. and Cornelius and Jameson, those guys fit, both what we do from a schematic standpoint and from a character standpoint. So we were really excited to bring those guys back. And then, so there was really no concerted effort either way to bring back Commanders or not bring back Commanders, just bringing in the guys that we thought could help us win and would help us build our culture.
Adam, well, you've had a lot of new additions to the roster, a lot of 1-year contracts. Can you kind of talk about like, the strategy behind that?
Yeah. So, you know, we have a lot of optionality moving forward by doing that. So it's by, a lot of it's by design, a lot of it's by just, you know, who's available and how they're available and how many years, you know, they want to sign for. But finding, you know, being able to sign some guys for longer term and some guys for shorter term, keeping the optionality for next year, we always want to build through the draft. And it's funny to say that, and we signed a lot of free agents, but I think we need to sign free agents in order to field the team, really. And but this gives us optionality, and we're going to build through the draft this year and next year and continue to do that and supplement through free agency.
You had two linebackers, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu. What do each one of those guys add?
Man, those guys are awesome. Really excited to bring both of them in. Frankie just jumps off the tape. You know, the way he plays, his play style, his mindset, his mentality. He's a playmaker. And on top of that, he's extremely passionate. I didn't know much about Frankie from other than watching him play and saying, I want that guy on my team. But you do research and all his teammates absolutely love him. He's a great leader. So he brings a lot of versatility on our defense as well. And then Bobby, I mean, Bobby's going to be a Hall of Famer. And Bobby brings, I mean, all those different things you see off the field, the leadership, the toughness, the work ethic. But then he's also a Pro Bowler. I mean, he's a really, really good player still. And so you have those two things. They complement each other well. And I think with Bobby being the quarterback of the defense, that allows Frankie to do things. Frankie can really do well.
And with Bobby, when you look at it, because when you get to a certain point, you want to make sure, what did you see on film last year that this guy can still play?
I think you just turn it on, you can see it. It's actually, I was watching him a few weeks before free agency, and it was actually against us. And so, one, Sam had a really good game there, as you can see why the Seahawks really like Sam, but then you see how good Bobby is and just the way he can see things and his range and his tackling ability, all those things. You know, it's just there hasn't been a drop-off, really. So it's been really cool, yeah.
When you were with the Niners, you were parts of big trades up and big trades back.
Yeah.
When you look at that number two overall pick, how do you balance the player you can get there versus the haul you could get for it if you're trying to build through the draft?
Yeah, it's a big decision, obviously. But I think just like anything we do, it's about what's best for us, right? So if the best thing for us is to stand pat, then we'll stand pat. But you're always going to listen to all the different possibilities, trading up, trading back, no matter where you're at, pick, you know, 36, 40, 67, 70, 800. So you're always going to look, okay, what are the best things for us? Weigh all the different possibilities and make the best decision you think for us at the time.
Whether you're going to tell us or not, do you know right now what you want to do?
Now we still have a lot of it. A month till the draft today? Sure. Yeah, right. So it doesn't sound like a long time, but you get a lot of information in that month, and there's still some of the guys we haven't seen still in person. So we'll go out and do that next week, see a couple more quarterbacks, and then we'll do visits with them. We'll do Zoom calls. We'll do a lot of different things. So we're far from our answer.
When you're at these pro days, what do you care about? Like, what are you looking for?
You get a lot of information at these pro days. It's obviously you get to see the person in the flesh, for lack of a better term, up close and personal. See them work out, whether it's, you know, a tackle doing a pass set or punching the bag. You can feel them punching the bag if you're this close, which you can't really see or feel on tape. But then, aside from the player evaluation, the people you'd speak with, you know, so you get a chance to talk to different people on that staff, talk to different people in the NFL, you know, just talk. You get a lot of information by doing that, and whether it's on that player, whether it's on the player that they played against, the player they coached before, all that. So it's a really, really valuable tool where you do it and you don't realize how valuable it is until the end of the week when you're kind of aggregating all the information. Like, gosh, we got a ton of information. This was a great week. And that's what last week was.
Back to the linebackers real quick. How did the two additions impact Jaden Davis and kind of your decision on this fifth-year option coming up?
Yeah, we still haven't talked through the fifth-year option yet with myself and DQ. But I think, you know, I mean, you play with three linebackers, right? And so I think Jamin has a great skill set, and I think learning from a guy like Bobby is going to be invaluable to any linebacker. And we're going to try to get the best 11 on the field at all times, and that's DQ's job, and he's a master at that, at finding different personnel groupings. So however we can get a really good defense on the field, that's what he's going to do.
When you're at the pro days with the quarterbacks, what are you looking for? Because obviously they're thrown on air. So what are some of the little things you're looking for just to get a feel for the guy?
You can see leadership in those things, you know, in terms of how they direct their team and their teammates and all that. That's really cool to see their communication, their leadership. You can see how they look physically, which you can't totally see on the tape all the time. You can see it a little bit and at the combine. A lot of times they're wearing sweats and whatnot, so you get to see their body type, kind of how big and strong they are, and then you can feel, you know, their arm strength. You can look at their footwork, their touch. There's just so many different things you can see in person that maybe you couldn't really see on tape.
Have you gotten any clarity? You've talked about you want to know what everybody else is doing. It seems like folks are starting to draw a conclusion for the Bears at number one. Do you allow for a conclusion to be drawn there and really start to focus on what's going to be available at two?
Yeah, I think you got to be prepared for anything. You know, I can't assume that they're doing they're drafting a certain guy at number one. So, because if you do that and then they don't, then you're like, oh shoot. But so you always have to prepare for everything. Prepare like any options open. And so regardless of how much information that you have that says one thing leading up to it, you don't know until that card.
That is Commander's General Manager Adam Peters talking yesterday at the annual meeting down here in Orlando. We'll have more from Peters when we return, and we're giving away Nats home opener tickets next. You got to have something. Be Mitchell Finley right now. Caller number 10, 800-636-1067. You get to win two tickets to Nats opening day, Monday, April 1st, against the Pirates. First 20,000 fans there get a free reversible bucket hat. Pre-game festivities include an appearance by the world-famous Budweiser Clydesdales. I love those horses. Red carpet player introductions, live music, face painters, balloon twisters, and more. Gates open at 2. Opening day is always a blast. Hope whoever wins those tickets enjoys themselves. Maybe has a cold beer while they're at it. B, you want to play the rest of Peters, or do you want to react to some of what he said?
I can go either way. I mean, some of the things he said I like, but, you know, I would love to hear everything else he said as well. So,
okay, well, let's play the rest of it then. Commander's General Manager Adam Peters.
Dan said, I think the NFL Network the other day, that you can probably fair to say you can envision you guys taking a quarterback of the wear to ask you. But when did you?
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah. I guess we can start with going that. Like, is what were you at, like, sort of on this, the idea of trading down? Obviously, anything is possible, but is that something you would actively seek? Or
I think just like, I hate to sound like a broken record here, but we're gonna do whatever we think's best for the team. So whether that's any of those different options, we have two quarterbacks on the roster right now, with Jake and with Marcus. So you want to go to camp with four. So we're gonna add two one way or the other. So however that happens, that's what we're gonna do.
And
then,
just to follow up on that, when he says you can envision a quarterback, when for you in this process did you think to yourself, when did you start envisioning that a quarterback was probably something that was gonna be in the cards?
I think really at any position, you want to make that room as strong as it can and as competitive as you can. So whether it's quarterback or, you know, center, guard, whatever it is, you're always looking to add and make sure that you have competition in every room. That's something that Dan preaches all the time. So with two in the room, you're going to get two more and hopefully make that room as strong and as deep as possible.
Seems like you guys have a hole at left tackle. Is that something you plan to address, you know, maybe – the rest of free agency, is that a draft thing? How do you plan on doing that?
Yeah, I think, you said it's a hole. I think we have Cornelius there now, and we have Trent Scott, who's played well too. So I don't know if it's a hole in our view, but those guys have played and started and have done pretty well. So, but just like the quarterback question, same thing. If we get a chance and we're in position to add a really good player there or anywhere, we'll do that.
You would be comfortable with those guys starting?
Yeah.
When you look at the quarterbacks, does it matter to you how ready they are to come right in and play?
Yeah, you weigh that. How ready are they immediately, or how much work do they have to do, and then how can you get them there? And so with the guys we have in the room right now, I don't think we have to rush anybody, and so that's a great thing, whether with Marcus in there, with Jake in there, we're not going to have to rush whoever. If we draft a guy, we wouldn't have to rush him into play right away, and that's not how we work anyway. And you know, we're going to play the person who's going to be give us the best chance to win.
Is there a right way to develop a young quarterback, to let him sit, throw him right in? Like, you've been parts of organizations that have gone a million different directions.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing to do in sports, I think, is evaluate and develop a quarterback. And but what you want to do is make sure you do as much as you can to let them develop. So we've built DQ did an incredible job in terms of building a great ecosystem for quarterbacks in our building. When you have Cliff, then you have Brian Johnson, you have Tavita, and we have David Blau too. So there's four people right there that they'll be able to focus on the quarterback room, and it's like four quarterbacks, right? So you get one-to-one teacher.
Yeah.
Student ratio, that's pretty good. But no, I think that was intentional the way we did that. And so you give yourself the best chance to develop whoever's in that room as fast as you can.
How much of your offseason moves have been about creating maximum flexibility for yourself during the NFL draft weekend?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And yeah, you always want to do that. You never want to get in a situation where you're drafting for need, and we don't ever want to do that. So a lot of that was the moves that we made is so we don't have to do that. You know, come in with a team where you think you feel ready to play, and then you can draft the best player available. And that's, so I feel really good. Our guys did an incredible job of getting out and getting as many guys as possible that fit what we do. And so that makes our job easier in the draft, where we can go ahead and pick the guys that we think are going to be the best Commanders.
How much do we need?
One more.
You can each do one.
Okay. I would say, how hard is it to not fall in love with one of the quarterbacks at this point? I know, like, you kind of went through this with the coaching search, where you just kind of went through the process, but is it sometimes hard to not fall in love with that guy, and how do you kind of divorce yourself from not doing so? Unless he's that good, of course.
Yeah, it's funny, like with anything, when you're interviewing anybody, whether it's quarterback or coach or whatever, you just get a chance to, you really get to know these people, and you really like them. You know, I don't know, that's just kind of how it goes. That's how I am anyway. Maybe I'm a sucker, but that's why it's good to have a great process and to go be thorough with your process and not make snap judgments and have recency bias, who the last person you talk to, oh, he's my favorite. So going through the whole process, like we were saying, all the way up to draft day and making the best decision with all that information and trying to be as unbiased as possible.
One thing I don't think we've asked you, and I apologize if we have, is before, I think, the end of the season, John Allen was on the radio talking about how he might not have the appetite to go through another rebuild. Do you expect him to be with the team this year?
Well, we're recalibrating, so we're not rebuilding. No, we've had some great talks with Jonathan, and can't wait to work with him. He's awesome. He's a great, great young man, and he's a great player. And so really excited to work with him. So I don't we are not interested in trading him.
He made that clear. The couple things that he wants to make clear, he will make clear. But what he will not make clear, Brian, is what the hell they're going to do at number two.
Yeah, that's true. I just, one thing, I like a lot of things he said, most of the things that he said, but talking about the room that you have right now in the quarterback room that you're comfortable with, I'm not buying that with the Cleveland.
Not buying that one at
not
all.
Not buying that.
You know what else is
most
interesting?
Most of the stuff was truthful, and I could buy, but that's a situation where you're looking in a draft because you know that is not the room you want to go with.
I also don't buy that he's comfortable at tackle either.
Probably not, like, but I can tell you, like this year, I watched two of those
Big
guys
Luke
play
can
last
play a
year.
Little bit, though.
I thought both of those guys played better than what we had there at left tackle. So if we win a whole year with that, we can probably go a year with them. And they have a better scheme to give them some help.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. I also, with John Allen, like, fans that just look at a contract and see no guaranteed money and, you know, oh, we could trade him or whatever, you now have John Allen at a pretty good bargain. He's not even top 10 at the position. As the price tag for these D tackles continues to go up, and as Drew Rosenhaus walks by me and just got this Christian Wilkins deal done with Vegas, where he's making 27 a year. Like, John at 18's a deal, dude. Here's what we're going to do. Brian, I don't know that you're ready for this, but our friend, Little Nate X, Barstool Nate, Eric Nathan, has a new dating series. Seriously. And he joins us next. Nobody go anywhere. Be Mitch Finley. All right, you hear that song. You know what it is. America's Heartthrob, Little Nate X, Barstool Nate, Eric Nathan joining us on the BetQL guest line. Nate Dogg, what the hell is going on?
Boys, I was told you had a new nickname for me, and I said, well, you guys gave me one last week, and now we're just, I guess, adding on, like, just nickname after nickname. It's going to take 3 minutes to introduce me by this time next year.
I mean, the more the better. Tell us about your love life and your new dating series and everything going on, man. We're happy for you. We're proud of you. You know.
No, you don't have to be either of those for me. Yeah, no, I guess you're referring to a video that we put out, speed dating. It's like speed dating, but I had people in my ear telling me what depraved things to say to these delightful young ladies, and the video is up, and it is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's something else. It's something.
You're going to have to explain
so
more for me. I've watched it, but you got to explain what the hell you're talking about to me, Mitch.
All right, B. So we brought in some young ladies into the office, and we did speed dating. But I had headphones on. I mean, she did as well, and so it looked like we were doing a podcast. But she didn't know. The ladies didn't know that coworkers were in my ears telling me what to say. And so it's just chaotic and disgusting, and every adjective in between. It's a great watch.
Now, for you have texted me in the past, like if I post a picture of my family or something, and you're like, oh, I need to find true love, right? And I think somewhere in your crazy little brain you mean it, but this wasn't even an attempt at true love. This was just content. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. Except, like, I think there was a little part of everybody was like, what if this actually works? But no, it did not work whatsoever. there was no love found, unfortunately.
It's like going to the silent parties where everybody have on the headset, in a sense, and they're listening to their own little music. You and does the young lady have on headphones, too?
Yeah, but that was just for continuity, so they didn't know that I had people in my ear telling me.
Well, suppose the person that you're nating has somebody talking to them too.
Well, hey, you got to watch the video to find out, B. Mitch. How about that?
All right, we have plugged.
I'm an expert at dating,
series.
Man. I don't think I need your help. I'm joking.
I'd like to see this done with B. Mitch in your ear, Nate.
Nah, he don't want that.
No, I don't want that.
Might actually fall in love.
No, he's not.
Might actually poach some eggs. Anyway, let's get down to business, Nate Dogg. I'm down at the annual meeting in Orlando. Adam Peters spoke yesterday. Dan Quinn spoke today. You've seen the reports of various quarterback affiliations. I've talked to both of these men in the last 24 hours. I firmly don't believe they have their finalized draft board yet. They still have to go to two pro days this week. I do think they probably have a pretty good idea what direction they're leaning, but where do you land on that? You think it's a done deal? Like, are you going to live and die over every report over the next month until we get to Detroit on draft night?
I'd say I love this stuff. I love the rumors and the whispers and the leaks and the fake leaks and, you know, just the I don't even know what to call it, the game theory, the whatever you want to call it, the mind games and the leveling wars. I find it very fun to follow. You know, you hear the Patriots want JJ at 3, so then you start hearing Washington wants JJ at 3, and then you're trying to leverage the Pats to trade up, you know, one pick and we still get who we want by swapping picks with them. I love this stuff. It puts my brain in a pretzel. I think it puts everybody's brain in a pretzel because we really have no idea which now of the three quarterbacks Washington wants. And this happens every year. You hear whispers of quarterbacks, you know, jumping way up into the draft. And sometimes, like Trubisky, they do end up going very high. And then if you remember, like Malik Willis, at some point people were like, that could be the number one pick, and he's the worst quarterback ever play quarterback. So I love it. I buy into all of it. It it intrigues me a ton. You know, it's a good way to waste the month leading up to the draft, is playing the guessing game of who's going to go where and who do, you know, what team likes which quarterback more. I live for it. And honestly, I have zero idea now which way they're leaning. If they know, they're doing a great job of hiding it. If they don't know, I sure hope they figure it out soon. I have no read on it whatsoever, though.
New era of lying season. That's all it is.
Oh, it's the best.
Because, I mean, listen, every time you start going one direction, you can bet your ass that they're going to come out with another thing going completely the opposite way. And I don't think the people that are putting out a lot of stuff talk to either one of those people, Adam or Dan.
Oh, of course not. No. It's all just hidden sources and whispers and this and that. And then there's always the chance that teams could trade up. We know the Broncos, maybe they're sniffing around. Maybe they want to trade up. So I find it fascinating. Then there's always Marvin Harrison Jr., who is just like a wild card in this entire thing. What if a team just falls in love with him and they want to jump up? I love it. I would like to stay at two and just take whoever they think is the best guy at two. But you never know. If the Pats come calling it, if we sell this JJ news and the Pats really want JJ and we pick up extra draft equity by moving down one slot and still getting our guy, let's do it. But again, I love the guessing games. I love all of it. It keeps me, I read more about these quarterbacks than ever around this time of the year. And I can't figure it out. I can't make heads or tails of who they want.
Do you really think that people, because of the reports that are out there, that the people inside a building really let that sway them?
They can definitely use it as leverage. I don't know if it sways them, but if you can get a GM to bite on a rumor and be like, yeah, that one's true, and lie to them, it's like playing a game of poker. You know, you're just hoping that your bluff gets through. You're hoping that people buy the bluff. And if they buy the bluff, you pick up a draft pick. And if they don't, you still get your guy at number two. So you're kind of winning regardless. You just have to hope that you can, you know, be that smooth talker and that great poker player and get someone to bite.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line. Make sure if you are a single woman, you hit him up because he's got a dating show now.
How many single women do you think listen to this show?
There's a lot of them.
Beamish says there's a lot of them.
When you have two good-looking men on the show, bro, hey, they don't jump on that.
Boom.
That's a good point. Lanfield and JP, very good-looking dude.
Nate, I don't care if you give me any compliments because I'm not looking for yours, believe me, buddy.
All right, that's fair.
Why you got a dating show because you can't Nate.
I should have just been in the NFL instead, okay? I get it.
It would have been a lot easier to find love, Nate, if you played in the
NFL. I chose Blogger over NFL. I had two options. I chose Blogger. All right, hand up.
I want to talk Caps, but I want to do one more on the Skins. What do you think of the rise of J.J. McCarthy? I listened to Jim Harbaugh's availability the other day, and granted, you know, he's kind of hyping his guy, but I also heard enough from people when microphones weren't on that people are legit really impressed by the kid.
Yeah, he's I think it's cool. I don't know what to make of it either, because, you know, Harbaugh's obviously gonna have his guys back, and that carries a lot of water and a lot of weight, and it's like, to me at least, but it seems like his pro day was the best pro day that people have ever seen. It seems like people are loving everything about him. Like, just, you're not reading one bad thing about anything pre-draft. And I buy all the hype. You know, I'll put anybody in the Hall of Fame after seeing one good throw. If you hit the goalpost from your knees, like throw it 80 yards, I put you in the Hall of Fame immediately. So, yeah, it's kind of like Will Levis last year. A lot of pre-draft hype. And then what's unfortunate is when this happens and the guy goes to the green room at the draft and he flips. That's always very sad. But, I'm buying the hype for JJ. We watched him at Michigan. You know, he played great. He can make throws. He looks poised. He looks accurate. He has arm strength. He has everything you want in a QB. It's been fun and a wild ride to watch basically three QBs battle it out for who QB2 is. And to reiterate, I have no idea who it is. Each QB is unique and different and talented, and I don't know who the actual guy is. And hopefully Adam Peters does because we have a lot riding on who he takes after Caleb goes number one.
Yeah, and this is why the whole city was so excited to get Peters, right? Like, you got to ride with this, and they're not going to say anything. And if you – like, the betting markets changed significantly around McCarthy going two, right? But they changed from 18-1 to 5-1, and Jaden Daniels is still at, like, minus 150. Like, he's still the overwhelming favorite. So, like, you can get caught up in that movement, or you could just zoom out and from the – you know what I mean? And look at the bigger picture. The interesting part is if a team does want to move up for JJ, you probably got to get it ahead of the Giants at six. So, like, four and five seem very movable. And then three and two, you wonder what the hell will happen. And then you've got this batch of QB needy teams. You've got Vikings at 11, Denver at 12, Vegas at 13. I talked to somebody from Vegas, and they were basically like, man, they love Jaden, but they don't think they can get him, and they don't want to move up for any of these other dudes. So I think watching what Vegas does will be really telling on the Jaden sweepstakes. Antonio Pierce was, like, effusive in his praise of Jaden, who he recruited to Arizona State, you know, whatever, years ago. All right. I want to make time for this because it's important, and they have a huge game coming up.
Huge.
The Caps play the Red Wings tonight. It's basically the Caps and the Red Wings in a bare-knuckle drag-out for this last playoff spot. How encouraged have you been by Ovi, by the Caps? They're on a two-game heater hosting the Red Wings tonight in a serious, serious kind of playoff battle.
Not just a two-game heater. We'll have won seven out of the last 10 and just playing great hockey. Obviously, Ovi has come back to life. Slowest start of his career, and then now looks like this vintage prime Ovi just – can't miss, playing aggressive, scoring, everything that, you know, we love about him. And the team is just red hot. What's crazy is being sellers at the deadline, you know, all these young guys who have just filled in and played admirably and played great. And then the veterans like Carlson, Ovi, Oshie, congrats to, you know, 1,000 games for him. It's been a blast to watch. They are such a fun team. And huge game tonight against the Red Wings. You said they're battling for that last spot. We do have two games in hand on the Flyers in the Metro, who have 81 points to our 79. So that's something else to watch out for. Obviously, the Rangers and the Hurricanes are just running away with the division 20 points ahead of us. But, you know, there's a lot of games left. The Caps are the hottest team in the league. The Flyers are still the Flyers. And the Red Wings, I'm not completely sold on either. If the Caps just play their game, as they've been playing, beating good teams like Winnipeg, you know, getting red hot with a hot goalie going into the playoffs, anything can happen, especially when you have Ovi, who's done it before, been there before, and looks healthier than he's looked all season right now. It's really shaping up to be something fun. You know, still a lot of games to play, 12 games left, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I love seeing, you know, Coach Carbs just getting the guys fired up every single night, and they're playing great hockey, like mistake-free, just great, fun hockey.
To look too far ahead, the Caps' last game of the year is April 16th against the Flyers.
Yep.
And, I mean, that could be pretty damn juicy. I mean, we're down the final stretch here. They only have, what, 11 or 12 left? And they have a pretty even split home road. It seems like Philly's going on the road more. And I think Detroit has a pretty tough stretch coming up.
Yeah, we do have a tough remaining schedule, though. You know, in Toronto, two against the Bruins. We have the Hurricanes, Toronto, Tampa. You know, it's not the easiest remaining schedule.
Yeah, but sure.
This team can play with anybody. I think that's what they've proven, is this team can compete. They're not intimidated by better opponents. We're scoring, which is great. You know, that 7-6 win over the Hurricanes, 5-2 win over the
Flames. Sometimes I think
they
show up more for better opponents. I mean, the loss to Phoenix, whenever that was a couple weeks ago, was so awful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that team stinks. And
yeah,
Beamish gets mad when I say that, because whenever I say
it. I get mad every time you say it, because every time you say it, something happens.
That's true.
Yeah, but then they immediately bounce back and blank the Penguins in Pittsburgh. By the way, I am here for the downfall of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It is so fun to watch. That team is just falling apart. Malkin is completely done. He looks terrible. Crosby's still Crosby, you know, still a good player, but, oh, boy, the Penguins falling apart is just music to my ears. Meanwhile, we're making this great playoff push. I could not be happier.
Does it give you hope for the future, though, Nate, when you look at the fact the Caps have a lot of young guys, like you stated earlier, playing, and they're starting to have that level of success?
Oh, 100%. We thought anytime that you think you're about to rebuild and be, you know, a lottery pick and the team is just performing and, you know, at a high caliber while being sellers at the deadline and picking up more draft picks and getting these young guys in the lineup who are succeeding and scoring and, you know, just playing their roles perfectly. Plus, you know, a young guy like Connor McMichael, who he's still only 22 years old, and we've been waiting for his development to kind of get to where it is now. He's finishing plays, he's making the passes, he's scoring the goals. Having a guy like him reaching his potential is just huge. You know, you never know with these young hockey players what you got with them unless you get a, you know, a phenom, you know, like a Ovi. But seeing these young guys just, you know, just reach their potential or, you know, show signs that they're going to be guys in the league at such young ages, it really gives you not just hope for the future, but encouragement that this team's not going to have to do a complete, you know, rebuild, win 13 games, get the number one pick type of thing. Rebuilding like on the fly while you have 21-year-olds impacting the lineup is so good to watch.
If they can catch the Flyers and get up to third in the Metro, how much does that change? Like, do they get a home series in the first round? Or would they – I guess – you know what I mean? Like, or does that –
Yeah, I think
just,
what's that, based on points? I think that's TBD, but that would be something, brother. I would – I'll be there no matter what. If we got that home ice in the first round, I will be there. I'll be in that suite.
Well, I mean, they'll get home games regardless, right?
Right, but home ice is what we want.
Yeah, I feel like I might be wrong on that, but because I just don't see how they could bump them ahead of, like – the Maple Leafs.
Beamish, you want to come? Because JP leaves after the first period. So
yeah, I'm with you. You know,
that is not accurate.
He likes leaving early, man. I don't know what's his problem
with
that.
Not accurate. If I come to
it. JP leaves so early, he hits the incoming traffic still getting to the game. He doesn't beat the traffic. He hits the traffic coming off the way.
Listen, we can all go to a Caps playoff game, and I will stay till the very end. I want to be clear about that. Playoff games. Now, if they could. I'm not even going to create my caveat. Yes, I will freaking stay. It's a playoff game.
Even if it's a regular game, stay sometime, Jay.
Lock it in. Okay. All right, Nate. Good luck with the –
I don't believe you, but it's locked in.
Good luck with the dating. I hope you find love.
Thanks. Love you guys.
Take care, buddy.
That's our boy, Eric Nathan, Little Nate X, American Heartthrob, Barcel Nate. B, I want to ask you something. The NFL just announced that they're playing on Christmas Day again.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that should really be news, but the surprise is that Christmas Day is a Wednesday, and they're going to play on Christmas Day.
Hey, man. The NFL said they want every day, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And they have my support, frankly.
I mean, if everyone's going to be home, why not have the one thing that people watch the most on TV?
Dude, totally. I remember as a kid, like, I almost want to get my sister on the radio to verify this. I remember as a kid, probably from, like, 8 years old to 25 years old, being at like, my house for Christmas with my family and complaining to my sister that there should be football on because we're all just at home. Like, this makes way too much sense. And it probably sucks for the NBA, but oh well.
Hey,
like,
they had it for a long time. They should have did better with it.
Yeah.
All I say about that.
Now, I will add, Brian, I wouldn't mind if Washington isn't playing on Christmas.
Well, JP, you can't have everything you want. You got to deal with something.
Yeah, right.
They're probably going to be playing, bro.
Well, I think we're all so used to them playing in and around the holidays. And I mean, Thanksgiving, damn near every other year. Christmas has happened. New Year's, like, I mean, just this past year. Here's Adam Peters. You want to join us live on the radio, sir? He's busy. You want me to tell him that you liked how he's handling the quarterback stuff?
Yeah.
I'll let him know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you and I have gotten so, I mean, hell, you probably played in it too, but I've gotten so accustomed to it that, like, if it is playing on Christmas for Washington, that means we won't. I mean, I don't know how you schedule a Wednesday game, though.
The same way they scheduled them when COVID was going on. we're going to have a game on this day. The people that's going to come out of the woodworks to begin marketing for it, they're going to make the price at about $1.75 million per commercial. It'll be good.
No, I'm saying not how you scheduled that. Like the TV people, it's a dream. I'm saying, like, you got to try to have that team play the Thursday before, I guess. Like, you can't have somebody play Sunday and then Wednesday and then Sunday.
The Thursday before come off a bye.
Yeah, but that late in the year. So Christmas comes, I mean, generally like week 16, dude.
Hey,
week
man. 15. Roger Goodell is paid $50-something million. Let him handle that. Don't worry about that. That's too rich for your thinking. Let them do that.
Did you see the tweet that dude sent me where, by my math, Tuesday to Tuesday was 10 days?
Put LOL, because I know it's the truth.
Landini, what do you think about Christmas football? Santa Claus bring it for you?
I like Christmas football, but I'm likewise concerned over the whole Wednesday thing. They need to get that together.
They'll figure it out. I mean, they'll come up with that. You think they're not going to make nobody play Sunday and then Wednesday? They're going to either play that Thursday the week before, or that team is not going to be playing. They'll be coming off a bye.
They could theoretically play Saturday, too.
Yeah, Saturday to Sunday.
Yeah, because I mean, they do have cool. The Saturday games by that portion calendar.
But those people that are making all that money up in Park Avenue, they paid to do that. Let them handle it.
It's their job to figure it out. As a straight up consumer of football, as a football dork that loves this stuff, I think I love the Christmas Day game. Now, inevitably, some team's going to get screwed by having a play on a Wednesday on the road, and then, like, you're not going to make that perfect. That's just the way of the
world. Hey, man, life.
Right, but I'm saying as a consumer, for me, I love the Christmas Day game. I really like the kickoff rule. I like that the replay official can correct egregiously wrong calls. I do fear that could slow things down a little bit.
Ask you a question. How many times things are going to happen, though?
Not a ton.
Okay.
You know, it's like cops don't turn in other cops. Refs don't turn in other refs. I think but I'm just going through all, like, I like moving the trade deadline back a little bit. The only misstep to me is the swivel hip drop. But I talking with people last night, I really think they are going to make every effort to not call that on the field and let that be officiated during the week via fines, which sucks for players, but I think it's a more effective way than doing it in games. By and large, B, I think they've made really good decisions this week. Do you?
Yeah. The hip drop thing is just one I don't like. I hate when they make rule changes, but they leave uncertainty there. All that does is messes up everything.
Right. It's like kind of a rule change, but without any, like, kind of strict language to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you say the swivel hip drop is illegal, but the hip drop isn't. How many people really know a difference? You know what I mean? That's what it comes to. And then you're going to have a ref who is going to see a guy grab somebody around the waist and immediately throw that flag. And the guy may not swivel or throw his weight up or whatever. He may just grab him by the waist and throw him down. Don't land on his leg, but his flag going to be thrown. And then you think that guy is going to push that button and correct that? No, not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now they've changed a bunch of stuff. We're kind of just highlighting the high-level stuff.
Some of the stuff we won't even see. It won't make a difference, but they do it anyway.
I agree. Landfill, you like the moves? You like the kickoff, Christmas, later trade deadline, all of it?
I like the kickoff. I think that will make the game more entertaining because the entire kickoff thing was just stupid. It was just a guy kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone. That was dumb, so I'm glad that they've changed that up. The later trade deadline, I guess that could possibly lead to more trades because teams will have a better idea if they are done or maybe they could make a move to improve. So I guess that's a positive. I think the swivel hip drop is just it's just going to add confusion and chaos, and I don't like it. I don't like the increase in challenges because challenges slow the game down, and they're excruciating as a viewer to experience. And I'm also not a big fan of the review the play clock.
Really? I like that one.
Yeah.
Because, dude, it is so arbitrary how that is officiated. It happens all the time.
Well, that's the question, though, man. They say, what was the word they mentioned earlier? If his...
egregious.
Another word, like, if it's what they said it was, you shouldn't have to review it.
Right.
You know? Right. It just, yeah. I don't get that one. You have one job. Watch the play clock. Watch the play clock. And you go, you don't see that it's on zero, and then they go two ticks afterwards, and you don't call, throw a flag.
Here, I got you, B. By competition committee amends rule 15, section 3, article 9 to allow a replay review when there is clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before any snap.
If it's clear and obvious, we
then
should,
you should
not
flag it.
It should be flagged that we shouldn't have to review a damn thing. So in other words, they're doing now what, instead of making that referee do his job, we're changing rules now to make the game longer.
Breaking news coming down on the fan before we do it. Caller number 10, 800-636-1067. You win a four-pack of tickets to the Washington Wizards Friday, April 5th against Portland. It is Sneaker Night presented by Hennessy. And throughout the night, the team will be celebrating sneaker culture in the DMV. Make sure to stop by District D and Gallery Place before the game for a free Sneaker Night block party. Don't forget to stick around after the game for the final concert in this year's Friday Night Concert Series presented by Sprite. Featuring 2 Chainz. The concert is free to attend with the purchase of a game ticket. I'd actually like to go to that. I'm going to be out of town. It sounds fun. All right, B, I said I have breaking news. This is news to me, okay?
Okay.
Per Dexerto on Twitter, McDonald's will start selling Krispy Kreme donuts in 2026.
Will a red light be on?
I don't know. I don't have that information. Yep. Of all my breaking news updates, I think you must like that one.
Nah, 2026 is forever from now. I couldn't care any less.
It is far away. It is far away. If Jeff's available, I'd love to hear from him. Just hear his voice. Cheer me up.
What's up, JP?
How you doing, pal?
I'm great, man.
What do you think of all the NFL rule changes?
Yeah, before Lanfield didn't turn my mic up, I was saying I was agreeing with them on the first two. However, I believe teams should be awarded a third challenge because you never know what can happen in a game. And that third challenge will definitely come in handy because what's the point of losing one? What's the point of not gaining one if you're, you know, successful on both? Other than that, I agree with Lanfield. The new kick rule is going to be exciting. We watched that live in the Defenders game, so I can only imagine how it's going to go on the top level of football. And, you know, free agency, being longer, give the teams a little bit more time to work. I'm cool with it. I like
Jeffrey,
how the league is progressing.
What do you think of Peters, how he's handling everything and kind of the quarterback intrigue that will only build over the next month with the number 2 overall pick?
I actually like it. I think the news that came out, you know how all this J.J. McCarthy stuff is? I think that's all just fluff and someone's just trying to get a story out about our team because, you know, we are the newest owner. We have the newest ownership group. I'm loving how he's handling it, bro. I'm
so
not
calling,
mad at him.
You're calling J.J. McCarthy a fluffer, Jeff? Is that accurate?
No, what I'm saying is it's fluff because nobody knows what we're going to do. It's so much talk everywhere. It's just so many rumors. I like how he's handling it because you cannot really put a finger on what he's actually doing.
Fair enough. Well said, Jeffrey. Speaking of talk everywhere, we're going to Nats baseball next. They got the Futures game at Nats Park. You will hear it here live. We're back tomorrow, 10 a.m. I got an interview with Dan Quinn. You will hear that tomorrow. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program. Thank you to Barstool Nate for joining us. Enjoy some Nats baseball next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.